Okay, this week is Parshas Vayishlach. This week, by the way, is known in Hasidic circles as Shabbos Busha. Did anyone ever hear such a thing like that? No, Shabbos Busha. The Shabbos of Shame. Why would you call this week the Shabbos of Shame?
So I think
at first glance you would say because of Dina. Because of Shechem and Chama, but that's not why it's called. It has to be rooted in halacha. There's a very unique halacha that this week's parasha it's not nogea us Ashkenazim. It's nogea the Teimonim who read the Targum. Right, the Kriyas HaTorah we only read the Pesukim, but the Teimonim, the original tradition was there's someone who lanes the Pasuk, and there's someone that lanes the Targum. And Parashas Vayishlach is the only time when you deliberately leave out a pasuk of Targum. The pasuk of Vayelech Ruvain Vayishkav Esbila Pilag Yeshaviv Vayishma Yisrael Shnei Masar. So the Targum translates it literally that he lived with his mother, he lived with Bila. Okay, that's what it says. I read the words. The pasuk says, "Vayihi b'shkon Yisrael be'aretz ahi vayelech Ruvain vayishkaf es bilha pilagesh aviv vayishma Yisrael." The Targum pasuk of Bei says, "Vahava kad shiro Yisrael be'ara ahi vaazal Ruvain u'shechiv im bila lechenasa davuhi." So the Targum translates it very literally. U'shechiv. U'shechiv means. It says Vayishkav means literally Yishkiv. So because of this Targum, it was Jewish custom not to read this Targum when they laned on Shabbos. Because it's an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael that such a thing could happen. That a child can live with his father's wife. So therefore the entire Shabbos was called by this custom, called Shabbos Busha. Parashas Vayishlach is called Shabbos Bush. That's what it says in Svar. Okay, let's go to another. What?
When they read
this
one means
that they
read it Shaita,
right? What?
That the Torah. Is there one of those incidents they read over to her?
That's the Shaita, it's a private event. A Shaita was taken to the Beis HaMikdash and they read the parasha in front of her and they exposed her and they told the. They force. That's an event. That's an event that happens to the Parashas Nosa. Parashas Nosa is the Parashas of Sota. But it's not referring to any specific individual. The halach is if a woman is unfaithful and she qualifies for the procedure, she's taken to the Beis HaMikdash and they uncover her, they give her to drink and they read the Parasha. And in fact, the Gemara says all of the women are forced to attend the ceremony. They should take a Musar. V'nivashu b'nosi Yisrael. The men have a choice. If you want to come and watch, come watch. If there's a baseball game you'd rather go to, you can go to the baseball game.
Certain things to her was the person who was mitre that they did.
Yes, so they read the parasha in front of her. No, that's not. But this is an event, one of the shifty cut says in the pasuk, a terrible, a horrible event, and it says here in the Targum, this was the halacha, that when you read the parasha, you don't read the Targum on this pasuk, and therefore this Shabbos traditionally was called Shabbos Busha. Okay, let's go.
I think I know what
you're
referring to
about
Moyer.
Second daughter.
What?
Also Busha. Not a second.
Lot. But Lot is not part of Klal Yisrael. This is part of Klal Yisrael, the Shiftei Kah. This is more embarrassing. It touches home. It's more embarrassing for us.
I think he said something about Moyer. In other words, when Reuben heard that Yehuda was moida by the Maaseh,
yeah,
he was moida on this and he did Shuvah.
Right, he did Shuvah. Enochinami, but still the record of what happened is a busha for Klal Yisrael. So the Targum is not read because of the shame we have, and therefore it's called Shabbos Busha. Okay, let's go. What? No, you definitely, that's private. Shnai Mikveh Targum, you read it. But publicly, the Teimonim still do this. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Kosel HaMarava, you can always find the Teimonim Minyan on Shabbos, where you'll see them actually read the Targum as they do Kriyas HaTorah.
The Masorah says that he was Mavalda.
Okay, in Achanam, they are Midrashim, he didn't really do nothing. Some say he had a B'machshava.
Yeah.
There are many only in Midrashim exactly what happened. But still in all, the Torah records in very harsh, harsh words, and the Targum does not shy away from translating it literally, which gives the wrong impression, which brings shame to Klal Yisrael, and therefore, because of the shame, we do not read this pasuk, and the whole so, halachic concept. The Gemara, I think the Gemara actually says this: it's read and it's not translated, and because this of this halachic requirement, the entire Shabbos is called after this halacha Shabbos Pushta, the Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Agadol, Shabbos Shira. There are many different types of Shabbosos during the year. This also, we don't refer to it, we're not familiar with this concept, but this is what it was traditionally known as Shabbos Busha. There, the word, there we actually change the reading of the word, right? There, but we're not focusing on a specific individual. We're not focusing on an event. We're focusing on a curse that would happen in Chas V'Sholom. We're not oisins. It didn't happen yet. These are curses which theoretically can come about. Well, that's a different right. You see that the word Yishkaven is a refined word. It's not Yishkolen Einochnani, but it's, I guess, because it's a record of a real event. That's why the record. It's a record of a real event. That we're giving it a name. Reuven did this, and it was a, it's a great tragedy. And the Targum does not shy away from translating it literally, because the Targum doesn't all the time translate Sukkim literally. And here the Targum translates the word literally, which gives you an impression it really happened. Chazal say it did not happen. He didn't do it in the Avera. It means he was Mababal, he just moved the bed from one location to the other. Some say he didn't even do that, he did even something that's less. But it's still, since the Torah expresses it in such explicit terms, this is a source of embarrassment for us, which the Gemara says has a halachic nafgamin. We do not read the Targum, and because of this halacha, we give the Shabbos a whole new name, Shabbos Busha. Okay, let's go to a classic var. It's a classic var. We said it before, but it's kedai to review because this is a major yisod in Yadus. Yaakov Avinu sends a messenger to Esav, Im Lavon Garti Voichar Ad Ota. Rashi says in the second interpretation that the word Garti are the same letters as Taryag, that I observed the Taryag mitzvos, Im Lavon Von Garti, but I've loyally madati mima asaf. Go tell Esav, watch out. I'm living here for 20 years with Lavan. Dover acher garti bigimatria taryag, kiloimar, im Lavan harosha garti. It's a very powerful word, we call him harosha, the taryag mitzvah shamarti. And then Rashi adds in a few more words, vilo limadati mima asaf horoim. I did not learn from his evil ways. The question is, if you are observant of the Tayag Mitzvos, that automatically means that you do not learn from his evil ways. The Tayag Mitzvos is what you should be doing. So it would appear that there's a redundancy in this expression. Once it says, V'tayag Mitzvos Shamarti, it's automatic, V'lo limadati mima sof haroyim. So the answer is that it's in a chnami, a person can be a novel bereshus haTorah. Just because a person is a shomer Torah u'mitzvos does not mean that he does not behave like Lavan Harosha. And this was the Iker message that Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. I'm not like you. I'm not just an observant. I'm the real deal. I'm the real. He's not trying to break here. He's just trying to say, I'm the real deal. I've absorbed the moral lessons of the mitzvahs. It's not just enough to go through the motions of observing the mitzvahs. What is critical is to know the moral lessons of the mitzvah, the teachings of the mitzvah, and to behave in a refined way. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yaakov Avinu, we know Chazal tells us this pasuk is very, very important for us, because Ma'is Avol Simla Bonim, and we in Galus for 2,000 years deal with the Goyim every single day, every single moment. We live in Galus, we live in Galus, and we have to know how to deal with Esav. We are guests in the time of Galus, we are guests in the home of Esav. How do we deal? This pasuk gives us a blueprint. Yaakov Avinu is now entering the territory of Esav. He's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, which is under his authority, under his control, and the Torah tells us exactly how to prepare. It says here, Yaakov sends malachim. Rashi is very bizarre. Rashi says, malachim mamish. Rashi says he sent actual real angels to greet to greet Esav. Now the question is, what is exactly, what kind of malachim did Yaakov Avinu send? Which malachim are we referring to? So I've come across a different svarim. I compiled a collection of different interpretations, different types of malachim that the commentators explain Yaakov Avinu sent Esav. Let's start, I think, with the Baal HaTurim. Yeah.
Where does Yaakov get the authority to send malachim?
You do whatever you want. It's a free world. Real malachim. Chayne malachim in Shulchan Aruch, which is only written in. Yaakov Avinu lived with malachim. Machanayim. He saw the end of the parsha Vayetze. He came across Vayifku bo malachim elokim. Vayom Yaakov kasher ba machane elokim ze. Vayikru Hashem lokay machu machanayim. So he took some.
Who gave him like a blank check? Here's my malachim.
It says in Shulchan Aruch, when it was written in the 17th century, that when you go into the Beis HaKisa, it's a Shulchan Aruch. When you go into the Beis HaKisa, you're supposed to say malachim. Ischabdu mechubodai. You say malachim. I'm going into the Beis HaKisa. So. It's some privacy. Some privacy, please. Okay?
Except for Friday night.
Did you ever see someone?
I don't.
Did you ever see someone do that when they go into the base like he's.
A lot of people locked up.
It's Chamdu Mechubarai. And when you come out, you greet them once again. And this was in the 17th century. So until the 17th century, people were accustomed to being accompanied by malachim. It wasn't so uncommon that people have Gilui Eliyahu. When people saw malachim, even during the Holocaust, the people that swear they had Gilui Eliyahu. So how do we explain this? I have no clue. You read this Hadaras, and the Mishnah Berurah says no one today should dare say this because Mechzik Yehar, there's no one today on the Madrega, we were right to see Malachim, but in the time of the Torah there was such a thing as angels. And Rashi here says, goes out of his way to say, Vayishach Yaakov Malachim, Malachim Mamash. Who were these Malachim? So Rabbi Mayevsky told us, Lefi Pshuta Shel Mikra, this Lechoritz Pshat Rashi. Rashi is connecting this pasuk to the end of the previous parsha. The end of the previous parsha, it says, Vayakov Holach Ladakov Vayifku Bo Malachai Elokim, and then it says, Vayishach Yaakov Malachim, Rashi Loibosi Elo Leforesh, the simple interpretation of the pasuk, whether it's Midrashic or whether it's al pshat, but the way the psukim flow well is to say that the malachim, the end of parsha Vayetze, the malachim which Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav. Okay, that is the pshutoi shel mikra. Let's go to some of the other commentators. I believe there's a Baal HaTurim that says that if you read the word Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lufanov, the first letters of Vayishlach Yaakov Vav Yud Mem Lamed spell Vayamol. Vayamol means bris milah. We have a tradition, every time a person does a mitzvah, he creates a malach that serves as an advocate. Yaakov Avinu sent Esav, the malachim that were created through the performance of bris milah. Yaakov Avinu had 12 children, or Yaakov Avinu himself, when he was born, also his father Yitzhak performed upon him a bris milah, and he had 12 children, 12 sons. At this point, he only had 11 sons. He was not yet born in Binyamin, so there were 11 malachim. Esav, they had 11. Esav has 11 alufim. Esav, we mentioned this week that Esav carries captured the magic number of 11. Yaakov Avinu had 11 sons. Each son he had did a bris milah. Each bris milah creates a malach. He sent those 11 malachim to Esav. Why daf? The malachim that were created from bris milah, very simple. Esav did not have a bris milah. Chazal tell us Esav was born with a reddish complexion, and they were afraid that he was a hemophilia. Is that the hemophiliac, and he would die from bris milah. So what?
Never mind.
So he did not. Esav did not have a bris milah. Esav thought that I'm going to conquer Yaakov Avinu. I have the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham. I have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu has been away for 20 years. He does not have the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham. He does not have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. Yaakov said, "Not so fast. I have something that you do not have. I have the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And to prove it, I will present you with my malachim, the malachim that have been created through the performance of Bris Milah. So watch out. That's one interpretation.
By the way, they say 11 to 12 that she was already pregnant with the 12.
She's already pregnant. It's already 12. It's already on the way. Okay, another interpretation I came across, I saw this in Rabbi Pinchas Friedman's Sefer, Shivili Pinchas. He says the malachim with the malachim that accompany a person when you come home from shul on Friday night. We say Shalom Aleichem. This we still do. Okay, no one's walking home to the Beis Akisei and saying Ischamdu Mechubadai.
Just two.
When a person comes home, the malachim see that the mita is mitzas. If the mita, the bed is made, and the ner is daluk, and the shulchan is oruch, the malachim say, Malachim give the person the blessing Yehiratzon that your house should be in order in the same fashion next week, and the other Malachim, the evil Malachim, have to answer Amen. So a person is accompanied home every Friday night by Malachi HaShavis, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi HaShavis, Malachi Elyon. It is these Malachim which Yaakov Avinu sent to greet Esav. How does Rav Pinchas Friedman know that it was these Malachim? Because Rashi says Malachim Mamish. What does Mamish stand for? Mem, Mem, Shin. Minoira? No, not Menachem Mendel Schneerson, I'm sorry. Okay? Mamish means, that's what they say, Mashiach Mamish. That's what the Chabad say. So why does it say Mem, Mem, Shin? Mem is Minoira. The second Mem is Mita, and Minoira Dolok, Mita Mutsas, Vishulchan Aruch. Mem, Mem, Shin stand for the three things which the Malachim are looking for. When they see that these three things are in order, this is an indication the person has accepted the Kedusha of Shabbos and is worthy of Bracha. That's how we know that we're dealing with the Malachim that are created from Kedusha Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw Mita. Minoira, Mita, and Shulchan. So Gemara and Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes. Kuf Yutes is where the Gemara relates this story about the Malachim from which the piyut of Shalom Aleichem is drawn from. Another interpretation I've come across. Yaakov Avinu, he sent the Malachim that are created to the Koyach of Tefillah. Indeed, that is what he is doing. He's preparing with the Koyach of Tefillah. A gift, Melchama, and Tefillah. Who was Misaki in Shachris? This is Avram Avinu. Yitzchak was Misaki in Mincha. And Yaakov in last week's Parsha, Yifka Mukam was Misaki in Ma'arif. Each Tefillah creates a Malach. He's taking with him the Koyach of Tefillah of the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How do we know that these are the Malachim? Because what does Mem Mem Shin stand for? Mincha, Ma'ariv, and Shachris. So the Shemois, the Rashi Tevos of the three Tefillos. A third, another interpretation I've come across. No, this is a different sefer. This is a Likai. This is what I've come across in the Pirin. I've come across all these different interpretations. Another interpretation is he sent the Malachim that destroyed Sodom. They were lonely. They had nothing to do. These Malachim. The Malachim said, "Ki mashchisin." Anachnu. The Malachim said to Lot and his family, we are here to destroy this, to destroy Sodom. Chazal are critical of those Malachim. How dare you say Anachnu? You are just representatives. You've taken credit. You've made a statement. Koichi v'oitzim yadi. It's within your power. Hashem says, you are being pushed. You are going, this is also Rashi Tevis. I didn't write that down. It's also Rashi Tevis. You are Rashi, the Chazal there say, they were, it's Rashi Tevis Mem Mem Shin. I forgot what it means. There's also, they've been pushed away. They were, I'm sorry, they were pushed away from the Shekhinah, rejected from returning to their source because they took credit for themselves by saying the words Mashchisim Anachnu. Okay, so Sach HaKol, I think we presented five different versions of the Malachim. Rashi is Pshat. Like we remember, we spent some time learning the Mahalach of Rashi a week ago. Rashi is Pshat. Rashi is connecting the end of Parshas Vayetze to the beginning of Parshas, the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. In the last interpretation, we can suggest that the significance of sending the Malachim that destroyed Sodom to give a message to Esav. Esav, look what's going to happen to you if you destroy me. You'll be no different than these malachim. These malachim are malachim of destruction. Ki mashchisim anachlu. And look what happened to them. They were pushed away from coming in contact, from returning to the shoresh in Olam HaEmes. If you want to destroy me, you are behaving in the same midah of mashchisim anachlu. He's delivering a message. You want to destroy me, you're going to be like the malachim. You're going to be pushed away. You're going to be rejected from ever coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some future point in time. I guess every person to some degree in the back of his mind realizes that even though I'm not a tzaddikal, I'm not going to be in the front row seats in Gan Eden, you still want to have a connection. We know that Goyim, there's no question about it. The Chassidei Umos Olam. What? When it says he gave him only, it can't be that it means only. There is every neshama, even of a non-Jew, has some connection to the Olam HaEmes. Has to be, otherwise a person wouldn't be in this world. There is some chelik. Esav is no tzaddikal. Esav harasha, but Esav in the back of his mind perhaps believes that there is something for him in the next world. Well, look at the malachim. There's no one that's more entitled to be connected to their source of kedusha than a malach. And if the malachim were malachim of hashchasa, ki mashchisim anachnu, they are rejected from returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You, Esav, by destroying me, causing harm to me, will also be rejected from coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever form that you deserve, or you think you deserve, and that's a warning sign. But let's now go back. I want to focus. Yeah.
They came to Esav and said, "Listen, don't start up. We were the guys.
We have experience. We have experience. We're a match. Okay, in a chenam. Okay, that's more of a pshat. But I want to focus on the other three mahalchim. The other three mahalchim are Bris Mila, Shabbos, and Tefillah. And I believe that these other mahalchim really capture Maisa Avos similar bottom, the tools that we, the eager tools that we need to utilize to survive with our brother Esav in Galus. What are the eager tools? Mila. What does Mila really represent? Mila doesn't just mean a stamp. Mila captures the theme of Mesoira. Mila is one of the only mitzvahs that Chazal describe as mitzvahs habein al ha'av. The one that has the obligation to do the bris mila is the father. When a person lives his whole life, he always carries with him the mark that his father has put on him. It's a physical mark. Who is responsible for a child receiving a bris mila? Who really has the obligation to do the bris mila? Not you, that's not the chiv. The one that has the chiv to put the mark of mila upon you is your father. And that is symbolic. It's symbolic is that a person lives his whole life with the image, the demus tiyuknoi of his father before him. A person lives with the mesorah, the legacy, the connection to the previous generation. When we live in Galus, the role is, yeah, when Esav, Yaakov Avinu, he comes to meet with Esav, it's dangerous. There is Esav attempts to either to kill Yaakov or to embrace Yaakov. This tool to survive is to connect ourselves to our source, to our heritage, to our legacy, to our Mesoirah. This is the tool we need to survive. The second tool, of course, is Shabbos. More than the Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. The Malachi here, when Yaakov is coming to meet with Esav, is coming to a matzav of Sakana. The tool to survive the Sakana of Esav is Shemiras Shabbos. This has been proven from time immemorial. Shabbos is what keeps Klal Yisrael. And the third is Tefillah, the Koyach HaTefillah. So this is the Chut HaMeshulash. The Chut HaMeshulash is Mesoirah, Shabbos, and the Koyach of Tefillah. These are the Malachim which Yaakov Avinu surrounds himself when he presents himself in front of Esav. Ki maloki ki yitzav Hashem, the Hashem commands, yitzavolach Hashem commands the malachim to surround the person. These are the ikar malachim that we need to surround ourselves with to protect ourselves from the influence of Esav. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Short idea. a simple idea. Shechem and Din. Shechem has a very powerful desire to marry Dina. Now we know the story. Shimon and Levi, they come up with a plan to tell Shechem and Hamor and all of the people of the city that they should perform Bris Milah. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayhi bayom hashlishi b'yosam koyavim." It was on the third day when they were in pain. Vayovohu al ha'ir betach. They come upon the city with a sense of security, with confidence. Betach. They come upon the city with confidence they're going to conquer. Why did Shimon and Levi come upon them with such a degree of confidence when the Torah says that word betach? And the answer is partially because it says v'yoysam, I saw this in the Alehi Gayon by Rabbi Klein. Alehi Gayon, he says, because it says v'hi b'yoysam koyavim. What happened after Avraham Avinu did perform the Bris Milah? It was Yom Shlishi L'Milah, and what was Avraham Avinu doing? He sat at the Pesach Oil, he sat there, and he was waiting to greet them out, to greet Orchim, guests. Was he in a state of Koyavim? Did he feel the pain? Did it bother him? Did it bother him to be Machnes Orach on this third day? Absolutely not. And look at the people of Shechem, Hamor, and the people of the city. That's the key. They had charata. They viewed the Bris Milah to be a burden. It was considered to them a pain, a tsar. And therefore, if you're doing the mitzvah of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to you it's something which is a burden, b'yosim koyavim, there is no doubt that it will not protect you. The mitzvah will not protect you, and we are secure, we are confident that we will defeat you and overcome you. That's what's the Musar Haskel for us? The Musar Haskel for us, obviously, that when we do a mitzvah, a person should never, ever, chas v'shalom, have charata, he did a mitzvah. You spend time doing a mitzvah, spend money doing a mitzvah, it may not have gone the way you liked, you may not see the benefit, the results, but any time a person chas v'shalom entertains a havamina that it wasn't kedai to spend time on this mitzvah, you're touching upon the sin of Shechem and Hamor. Vayihi bayoyim hashlishi bihi yoysam koyavim. They felt the pain of the mitzvah, they had charata from the mitzvah, and that opens up a person to the sakana of vayovohu alehem. Whatever the pasuk says, Aloir betach, they came upon them betach. A person is vulnerable to defeat.
On the side, some people have a minig, and they grow a seeda on Gimel Amila Shlish Lamila.
It's the ten, right? The Gimel they make the make
Rav Levin.
Today they say that for an infant, 8 day old infant on the already a few hours after the Bris Milah, it's already over.
Well, what the Barbanel says by Yom Shlishi means the third day that from the time the Dina was adopted. So it was immediately after.
It was immediately.
It wasn't the third day of Bris Milah. No. It was the third day from when the incident
was abducted.
Began.
For an adult, there is a sakana for 3 days. Avraham Avinu was an adult. So this year, custom of making a suda on 3 days after the meal is not so simple, because the Yom HaShlishi is only true for an adult, not for an infant. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
Avraham Avinu was in kind of mitzvah.
Yeah.
Like the Shemites had no mitzvah.
Shechem.
Right, so they were Kaver.
Yeah.
Why were they not to be Kaver? They didn't want to do a mitzvah.
They were doing a mitzvah. It's clear that when Shimon and Levi told them to do a Bris Milah, they were telling them you can be part of Klal Yisrael. You're doing a mitzvah for moral purposes. It was a holy event. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a popular var from Rav Hutner. The Rav Hutner is quoted, they record him saying, asking the question, why is it Rachman Litzlan if a relative, a sibling, a child, Chas v'Shalom Lo Yaleinu, leaves this world. The Avelus is 30 days. And yet when a parent leaves this world, the Avelus is Yud Beis Chodesh. What?
No, a wife is 30 days.
30 days. A wife is 30 days. All welders, by default, avelos is not more than 30 days. This is the default of avelos. Even that's only the Rabbanan. Menatar avelos is only the first day. Some say maybe 7 days, but it's not really more than the first day. Midrabbanan avelos extends for 30 days, and Chazal have extended the avelos for a parent for 30 days. So l'cho'ira, if you would not know otherwise, you would argue that it should be just the opposite. A parent, kachi darko shaloylam, a parent is 120 years old, yeah. All of his children, he has outlived all of his children, kachi darko shaloylam, so the avelos should be a short period. For Rachmana Litzlan, if it's not a parent, it's not necessarily darko shaloylam, especially if it's a younger person, whatever it is, a sibling, a spouse, a child. So this is where the avelos should be for more than 30 days. So this is the question that people ask. So Rav Hudna give the answer, and he says, because we have our perspective on avelus is all wrong. The emes is avelus is not more than 30 days, period. And that should be true for a parent as well. The reason why the mourning for a parent is more than 30 days is because a parent is a link to the Mesoira. A child, a spouse, a relative is not a link to the Mesoira. A parent is a link back to Sinai. And when a parent leaves this world, you've lost that link to Har Sinai, and therefore it demands a greater degree of avelus, and avelus that goes for 12 months. Now the truth is, I believe that this idea really is found in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu suffers two major losses, two terrible, terrible losses. Number one, the loss of his wife Rachel, the Eshes Neurim, the one that he wanted to marry. What does Yaakov do to commemorate her death? Vayatsev Yaakov Matseva al Kivurasa. He Matseves Kever Kvuras Rochel Ad Hayom. The Torah says that he erected a Matseva, and the Matseva is called He Matseves. It is the monument of the Kvuras Rochel, the Kever Rochel Ad Hayom. And that's absolutely true. Today it's called Kever Rochel. Who doesn't go? You go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Kever Rochel. It's a Metzias. Few psukim before, we learn about the death of Devorah, and as Rabbi Bayevsky said yesterday, and this is Rashi, this is Chazal, that the death of Devorah really includes within it the death of Rivka. The death of Rivka, the reason why there's no explicit mention of the death of Rivka is because there was no one there to properly bury her. Yitzchak was blind, Yaakov was out of town, the only one available to bury her was Esav. Esav already was known to be a wicked man, and it would be a disgrace. People would see her being buried and they would say, who is this woman? She is the mother of that Rasha. Oh, such a person is not deserving of a proper eulogy, of a burial. How could it be such a woman that came to this world and look what she produced? So therefore the Torah had to hide the fact that she died in order to prevent her from suffering bizyonos. That's why but the Torah did not want to completely ignore it. So we allude to it with the pasuk, Vatomas Shom Devorah Menekes Rivka. It really alludes to she was the extension of Rivka. Ramayevsky mentioned yesterday that Rivka, Devorah here, is spelled the only time in the Torah it's spelled Choser, because in the Atbash we exchange the Dalid with a Kuf. So when you take the Dal and the Kuf in Atbash and you exchange those letters and you read the word Devorah, Devorah turns into Rivka, and that's why there is no Vav in Devorah. And really, other Chazal say the reason why they buried her Tachas Ho'aloin. Rashi explains Aloin means a low valley. They buried her in the valley, and they called it Aloin Bachus, the valley of tears, of crying. And the reason why it says Aloin Bachus Beloshon Rabin is one Bechir was for Devorah, and the other Bechir was for Rivka. So look at this. Rachel, who was the Eshes Neurim, the spouse of Yaakov, for her he put up a monument. And it's called Kever Rachel. He Matseves Kvuras Rachel Ad Hayom. A monument, when you say the word monument, people don't begin to cry. Oh, monument. You know, today, especially in the 21st century, we don't mourn, we celebrate life. Right? That's the way it is. Even among the from. Let's not make believe. That's the way it is. You celebrate life. Okay, I've all been to funerals where they're making jokes. Okay, and no one here has to. That's the way. Unfortunately, that's what they do by the goyim affects us as well. So matzeves kvuas rochel does not arouse immediate tsar, even though it's very tragic. She died during childbirth. She never saw Binyamin, and she had a disagreement ben oini. It's a very sad story, But matzeves ki Yaakov Avinu did not overemphasize her death. Matzeves kvuas rochel ad hayom. But when his mother died, who he hasn't seen for 23 years, his mother died, he called it Aloin Bochus. Every time you come to that valley, that Aloin, that Meshar, that plain that's on the bottom of the hill, Bochus, you think about crying. That's the instructions that Yaakov Avinu was giving the tourist. You come here to cry. You don't come here to take pictures. That's Aloin Bochus. But it's his mother. His mother, Kachi Darko Shaloilam. No one lives forever. What do you expect? If for your wife, Rachel, Eshes Nu'urim, the one that you Vayehav Yaakov, as Rachel, he loved her. He kissed her when he first met her. For her, oh, Matseva, I put up a monument. Just a monument, we'll call her, this is where she's buried. There's no emotion. And yet for his mother, that's where the emotion is. Normally it's just the opposite. You would think it should be just the opposite. But this really is the Vart of Rav Chutner. The word of Rav Chutner is that when it comes to a mother is your connection to the past, to the Mesorah, to where everything comes from. For the Avos, I mean, the mother over here, we're dealing with Matan Torah. We're going back to the Mesorah, Matan Torah. But we're going back to Avram Avinu, we're going back to Yitzchak. Mesorah, in Klal Yisrael, there's nothing more valuable than Mesorah. Connecting yourself to your roots. Rachel is his wife, the Eshes Ne'urim, the wife that he loved. Okay, but that's only 30 days. The Aveilus is 30 days. A parent is 12 times 30. It's serious business. Because this is the lesson in Klal Yisrael, Aloin Bochus, for the mother, verse, He Matzeves Kvuras Rachel, Kever Rachel, for Rachel the spouse. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yes.
In response to the question, why 30 days versus psychologically
inside. You have the tendency to forget.
It's a little different. As you suggested, that for a parent, that's the derech, that's what happens, right? But for a child, the mourning is so great that
your whole life will be mourning.
You'll
never get over it.
Without thought, make it 30 days so a person can get on with life.
Yeah, okay. Come on, let's launch.
Okay.
You only have one mother. Only one mother and one father. What? Who buried her? Ma'aris Machpela L'Chayra Esav. Esau was very machmir and kibbut av. We don't find Esau being machmir and kibbut aim. We find him being machmir and kibbut av. So I don't know, it's a mystery. Maybe it says in the Medrash exactly buried her. Esau's head rolled off. Yeah. But who buried Rivka? He says who buried Rivka? Who's the one who buried Rivka? Possibly. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's go to another idea. We are in a unique situation where we are approaching Chanukah. Chanukah is only one week away, and we're also learning Megillas Esther. So we're combining Chanukah and Purim together. And everyone knows what's this amazing.
We just learned about Sarah.
And we just, what does Sarah have to do with Chanukah? Okay, so Chanukah, everyone is well aware that there's a major difference between the approach Klal Yisrael took to the Sakana in the time of Chanukah and the time of Haman, of the time of the Purim miracle. In the time of Chanukah, the Yevanim Nikbitsu alai azai bimei chashmanin, they contaminated the oil. They wanted to contaminate Klal Yisrael. They wanted to contaminate. They didn't want to kill. They didn't want to annihilate us, but they wanted to contaminate Klal Yisrael by forcing us to abandon the Torah and living a secular life like the Yevanim. How did Klal Yisrael respond to the attempt of the Greek Syrians to contaminate us? War. We don't find there Lech Kenos Kol HaYehudim. We don't find there to be an emphasis on Tefillah. We don't find emphasis on Tshuva. We find war. Matisyohu and his children, Giborim Biat Chalosh, and they went out and they fought the Melchama to overcome the threat. On the other hand, in the time of Purim, when the threat was not a religious threat, it was a threat of genocide, to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, what was the response? The response was, Lech Kenais Es Kol HaYehudim, and Vitzumu Alai V'Al Tochlu V'Al Tishtu Shleish HaSinim Laila V'Yom to be Mispala. Two different approaches. So what's the explanation? So Chazal explained, everyone knows the explanation is that when it comes to a spiritual, when the Goyim come upon us to destroy us spiritually, then you have to be Meiser Nefesh. Then you have to give up your life. When they come to destroy us physically, then you have to respond with the Koyach of Tzfilah, with the Koyach of Ruchnius. This difference between the two different types of sakana and the two different types of responses is really presented here in this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu, first he meets the Malach. Vayivoser Yaakov Levado Vayioveg Ish Imo Ad Alois Hashachar. Yaakov Avinu is just about to physically meet Esav. What is Yaakov Avinu afraid that Esav will do? Im yavoi lamachne hachas vihi kohu v'hoya hamachne hanisha lefleit. It's clear from the psukim that Yaakov was afraid that Esav would wipe out, would physically destroy Klal Yisrael, himself and his children, would destroy them. He prepared. But the night before he met with Esav in body, he met with Esav's guardian angel, the Sar Shel Esav. And what did Yaakov Avinu do with the Sar Shel Esav? Vayeovek ish imoy ad alois hashachar. He fought. The way the psukim described, he wrestled. He wrestled, and the fighting, the way the Chazal described the wrestling, was until the degree where dust. There was so much dust in this match, where the dust reached all the way ad shamayim. But yet, when Yaakov Avinu met with Esav there, he sent a gift. He was mispalel. He was diplomatic. He especially, let's assume he was Darun Tfila Mulchama. But there was a very great emphasis on the koyach of Tfila. What's the difference? The difference is the Sar Shel Esav is obviously purely spiritual. The Sar Shel Esav is not a physical body. It's not a physical being. What then could the Sar Shel Esav want from Yaakov Avinu? He wants his spiritual downfall. If the Sar Shel Esav is coming to fight, and how does the Torah describe his battle with the Sar Shel Esav? It's described in physical terms. Vayeovek ish imo. Even though obviously it wasn't a physical battle because he didn't know with Sar Shel Esav, but the way the Torah describes the confrontation is with terms of physicality. Vayeovek ish imo ad alois hashachar. When Yaakov Avinu met the physical Esav who wanted to destroy him, there hatzileni no miad ochi miad Esav, we find the koyach of tefillah. So this pattern, the difference between the approach of Chanukah, the approach that Klal Yisrael took in the time of Chanukah, when they went from Mulcham because of the spiritual sakana, and the approach Klal Yisrael took in the time of Purim because of the physical sakana, each one took the opposite in order to battle the sakana, really is alluded to the two different parts of the confrontation that Yaakov Avinu had with Esav. There was first the meeting with Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav, then there was Yaakov meeting with the physical Esav. The meeting with the Sar Shel Esav was obviously a spiritual type of battle. Esav wanted to contaminate Yaakov Avinu, and what was the response? The response was Vayeovek Ishimo, terms of physical engagement, Milchama. When Yaakov Avinu meets with the physical Esav, there the sakana is physical destruction. So there, the approach is the koyach part of the plan was to use the koyach of tefillah. Okay, let's go to another idea. In the Torah and Tzachakol, we have the content is made mention. They are total of three different mitzvahs, three mitzvahs which have been incorporated into Chamish Chumshei Torah. What are they? The first mitzvah of Peru Urivu, Peria Urivia. That's a mitzvah. That's part of Tayag Mitzvahs. The next mitzvah that became part of Tayag Mitzvahs is the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And the third in this week's parasha is the Gid Hanoshe. So these are the three main mitzvahs in Chumash Bereishis from beginning to end, which have been incorporated into Tayag Mitzvahs. What is the connection between these three mitzvahs? What do they all have in common? So the answer is the mitzvah of Priya Urevia, obviously, that's the primary mitzvah, is to have children. But the process of having children is a process which is dangerous, which can lead to sakana. Having children, there's a need to sanctify the children, and there's a need to protect children from harm. The mitzvah of Bris Milah is a mitzvah, obviously, which is a restriction, or I shouldn't say restriction, is a safeguard of Kedusha within, built into the mitzvah of Peria or Revia. The Rambam says that the reason why we have a Bris Milah is to remove a degree of taiva in the inyan of matters of Ishus. And the mitzvah of Bris Milah is a positive mitzvah. It is a mitzvah which Hashem has instructed to do, to remove the foreskin. The mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe, now here's what it is, Gid Hanoshe, we simply understand to mean it's just a vein, it's just sinew which runs along the leg, but many of the Mepharshim tell us that the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe affects the Bris Milah. The Gid Hanoshe somehow is connected, that sinew is connected to the Bris Milah. Now let's elaborate upon this. The Malach touched Yaakov Avinu in the Yorich. Vayarki lo yocholo, vayiga bekaf ha yorech. The Chasam Sofer says the word yorech is Roshei Tevos, Yud is Yam, Reish is Rokia, and Chof is Kisei. Yam, Rokia, Kisei. What do these three words have in common? Where do we find these three words used? In reference to Tcheles. Chazal said that you should put on your tzitzis. On your tzitzis, you should put tcheles. What is the color of tcheles? It's doimer liyam, and yam is doimer lirokia, or rokia is doimer lekisei hakovoid. So therefore, the Chasam Sofer says. So therefore, I don't want to just take it now. The Chasam Sofer uses it for a little bit different. I just want to take these, put this together. What is the purpose of tcheles on the tzitzis? Torah says very clearly, Uri Isim also Zhaidim is called Mitzah Shem, Vasisim Osam, Viloi Sosuru Achare Levavchem, Viachare Enechem, Asheratem, Zoinim Acharehem. Zoinim simply means a term a person's neshama is drawn to be nichshol in Arayos. It is a Shemira on Arayos. That's the purpose of Tcheles. And Tcheles, what's tcheles? You look at the tcheles, the yam, rukia, the kisya kavod, it reminds you. This is where the sar shel eshav, and also we have to keep in mind that the gid hanoshe is a sinew which runs alongside the gid that leads into the bris milah. Therefore, we now can understand the relationship between these three mitzvahs. We have the Torah Peru Revu, the mitzvah Pri Revia. And then to support the mitzvah of Priya Urevia in Chumash Bereishis, we have the mitzvah of Milah and the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe. Because those two mitzvahs protect or package the mitzvah of Priya Urevia from two sides. From one side, it's the positive, that the mitzvah of Priya Urevia has to be done be'oifan of holiness, of Kedusha. That's a positive expression. The Bris Milah is Kodesh because we have put upon ourselves the stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mitzat Sheni, Hashem has supported and packaged the mitzvah of Priya Urevia with a shmira of the negative. V'loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, and that is alluded to in the mitzvah of v'loy alkein lo yachlu b'nei yishol es gid hanoshe. The gid hanoshe is the yorech, the gid along, runs along the yorech. The yorech is the area of the body which contains the bris milah, and the yorech is rosh etevos lachasam soifer yam rukia kisei, and those the tchela says lo yisosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, which clearly relates to the taiva and arayos, and now we have a greater appreciation of why in Chumash Bereishis, in the big picture, we only have three mitzvos: Peru or Revu, Mila, Gid Hanoshe. Peru or Revu is the mitzvah, but this mitzvah has to be sheltered within a framework of Kedusha, a positive Kedusha and a negative Kedusha. The positive Kedusha of Bris Mila with the negative Kedusha, the protection of Sura Acharei Levavchem V'Acharei Einechem. Okay, another quick vote we have in this week's parasha: Yaakov Avinu, he meets Esav, and Esav, he comes to Esav, and Esav kisses him and he cries. And Rashi says, how could it possibly be that Esav kisses Yaakov Avinu and he cries? Halacha biyodenu, Esav sone Yaakov. We have a tradition: Esav sone Yaakov. Esav is jealous of Yaakov. Yaakov received the brachas. Yaakov took what Esav was meant to have. How could it be that he kissed him? Ella, Sheba'oysa Shah, at that moment in time, Nichmeru Rachamov, he was overcome with emotion. Vayishakei, what are the purpose of the das? That was insincere.
The teeth.
His teeth broke, so he cried. But al derech pshat, he kissed him. He was moved. Some of the mefarshim said that indeed he was sincere. That moment he was sincere. By the way, the mefarshim tell us that we live in a generation, Baruch Hashem, we should not, when we find ourselves living at peace, it's never been so good for Klal Yisrael like it is in this generation. Live in America and even throughout the world, more or less, Klal Yisrael is in a state of peace relative to what existed, Chaman al-Tzlan, going back 2,000 years of history. But halacha biyadeinu, we have to recognize how delicate it is. Ela be'osu shah. We're living in a moment. Savor the moment. Be'osu shah nichneru rachmav. With zeiche baruch Hashem, to be living at a tekuf of be'osu shah nichneru rachmav, we'll be able to live b'shalom v'shalva, at least to some degree. Okay, but the point of the question I want to pose is, why did Chazal use the term halacha biyodeinu, Esav sone Yaakov? If you were given the task to express this, I think it's very unlikely you would choose the word halacha. You would say mesoira biyodeinu. We have a tradition. The word halacha is a very dry word. It's a matter of fact. A, B, C, D, follow the rules. Okay, nothing personal. It's nothing personal. It's just a machine, just a computer. Halacha, we would expect the expression to be Mesoires biyodeinu, Esav sone Yaakov. How could it then be that he kissed him and he cried? Ela ba'osa shah. Perhaps Chazal here are trying to tell us something very important. Halacha indeed is a word that removes all emotion. If Chazal would have said Mesoires biyodeinu, then we have a legacy, we have a tradition. The word Mesoires or the like carries within it emotion. Oh, you're my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. But look, Esav also has emotion. Esav cried. Esav kissed Yaakov Avinu. We could assume he was sincere at that moment. He have emotion. I have emotion. So you know what? I'll bow before your emotion. We can be friends. We can live together. We can work together. We do not need to keep our distance. If Chazal would have chosen a word other than halacha, we would be misled that it's all a matter of our relationship with Esav is a matter of feeling. And when we feel good, we can work together. When we don't feel good, we have to distance. Chazal were very precise. Halacha biyodeinu. Don't be impressed with a show of emotion, sympathy, empathy, concern. In history, there have always been times when the Umos Olam have gone out of their way to show Klal Yisrael, we're going to be good to you, we're going to give you money, we're going to help you, we're going to be kind to you, and we would have a tendency to, okay, let's reciprocate, let's come close, let's work together. Chazal told us, watch out, watch out. Halacha, remove emotion, remove any small degree of feeling, emotion. View your relationship with Esav as a matter of fact, black and white. Kalta litvak, halacha. It's the halacha. It's not because of any other reason. Right? It's halacha. There was once a ma'aseh with a person, a very, very cold person. And they said about him that when it comes to yisoyim, when it comes to orphans, he goes meshuga. He'll give off the shirt off his back. He has no emotion for any. So they asked, how could it be this person? An orphan came to him, and the average people, and he went and he literally gave the shirt off his back to the orphan. Wow, he has such a good heart. So they said, no. This person is cold as it gets, ice cold. It's halacha. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a yosam, you have to give the shurfi back to the yosam. It's only because it says it in Shulchan Aruch. It's not because this person has any rachmanis on the yosam. Okay, that's not an approach, obviously, to life. But when it comes to Esav, Sona Yaakov, indeed, it is halacha. Okay, let's go to another 2 minutes, another vart. This is a very good vart for Kol Yungalite. Oh. Everyone here is a Kol Yungalite.
Every day, no?
What? Every day. So we have Yaakov Avinu. His midah is emes. Titin emes liyakov. Emes is Torah. Yaakov Avinu represents the quintessential Talmud Chacham. In the last three parshos, we've learned about Yaakov Avinu's success in Talmud Torah. In Parshas Toldos, from the time that he was born, he is described as being a person who is ish tam yoyshev oyholim. He sat in the Beis Medrash. Okay, not bad. You sit in the Beis Medrash, but you go for a coffee break, you go for a vacation, you go to Florida, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go here, you go there, you go to Shiurim, you have a good time. In Parashas Vayetze, no. He was not just a Kol Yungaman. Hasmada. He sat 14 years in Beis Medrash, non-stop, didn't sleep, Ad Kedei Kach. Yaakov, for the very first time when he leaves, he takes the 12 stones, he lies down, and Rashi says from here we learn he did not sleep for the last 14 years. In this week's parasha Vayishlach, when he finally arrives home to visit his father Yitzchak, the pasuk says, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. And Rashi says, what does it mean, Sholem? Sholem Begufa, he was healed from limping, Sholem Bimimoino, and Sholem Bitoirasai. Complete in his learning. So look at that. Three parashios, one after the other, the Chut HaMesholosh, Yaakov Avinu, Madregus of his Koyach HaTorah. First, Yoyshev HaHolim, second parasha, Yud Dalet Shana Hasmada, but just because you're a masmin doesn't mean you know Kol HaTorah Kula, and finally in the last parasha, it's Vayova Yaakov Sholem Sholem B'Toyrasa. If you would not know, you would think that the easiest time of his life was Vayavo Yaakov Sholem. Yaakov, to be a Sholem in Torah, you need to have Yishuv Hadas. You need someone to support you. You don't have to have Daigas HaParnasa. You don't have to have all these problems. That's when it's easy to Steig. But that's not what it says. It's just the opposite. The best years of Yaakov Avinu, when he had absolutely nothing to worry about, was in Parshas Toldos. He was born, no one was bothering him, he had all of those years until he stole the brachos and ran away the one time he got married, no one's bothering him. It does not say that he was sholem b'toyroso. It doesn't even say that he was a masmid. It says, he was a yoshev oyel. In Parshas Vayetze, when things got a little difficult, he's on the run. He's afraid for his life. He gives away every penny he has to Eliphaz. He was naked. He found a dead body, a corpse, a soldier that was killed in battle. He took off his clothing. He took it for himself, and he used it for. There we learn about his hasmada. when it was when life was difficult is where we learn about his asmad. And here in Parshas Vayishlach, when he was tzaleya al yirechoy and he was battled with Sar Shalesov, after 20 years of working like a dog for Lavan, and after worrying about what happened with Dean, what happened later, but the Tsar Gidl Banim of raising 12 children, it is here where it says Sholem Sholem B'Terasa. So it goes to show that just because life is difficult does not mean you can't accomplish. In fact, from Yaakov Avinu we learn that in the most difficult times of life is where he achieved the greatest completion, the greatest levels of steiging, of success in his studies. It's only here in Vayishlach where we learn Sholem Yitairoso, and only in Vayetze where we learn about his asmada, we didn't sleep, and the least level is when we were thinking it would be the opposite. That's where it says he was a Yoshev Oyel. Okay? I think that's enough. We will stop here. Have a wonderful